The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
We've been talking about being established in your position and how God establishes you in that position and gives you authority on this earth. And we as the body of Christ, our job is to stay in that position. You know, he's the one that establishes you there, so by staying obedient to him and walking in his precepts, you'll stay in that position. You won't come out. And the three things that influence you to come out of position, we talked about selfishness, we talked about fear, and now we're talking about pride. And oftentimes it's hard to separate those because the enemy will use all three at the same time to get you to move. And so today, again, we're talking about pride. And we're going to start in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. It's kind of fun to say, Obadiah, Obadiah. Yeah, it's a little one, Mo. You gotta get in there to the little prophets. And if I find Amos, I got a chance. And so it's right there. That's where you'll find it. So in Obadiah 1, because that's Obadiah, I'm going to start in verse 3. You know what Obadiah means? It means worshiper of God. That's a good name. The one who worships God. Verse 3 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." And that word, pride of your heart, it actually means in the Hebrew, it was the presumptuousness of your mind. Ouch. Yeah. To presume. And to presume means you suppose something based on a certain probability. That means you're doing it on your own experience. Because where do you get a probability? By experience. Yeah. Right? Well, who knows that God is outside your experience? Praise God, he is, right? And so look what he's prophesying. This is what he's saying. "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock whose habitation is high." You know, you're in this lofty place. And then it says, "You say in your heart," that's kind of a, you need to underline that. "You say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground?" Verse 4, "Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord." Now this is a prophecy he was sent to speak over those that had come against Israel. But I was looking at those scriptures and I'm like, when we're studying pride and we're looking at that, there's a lot of benefit in looking up the word, what does it mean, and the applications. And saying in your heart, you know, that saying in your heart, let's just call it self-talk. Everybody has self-talk, right? You know, the talk that's going on between your ears every day, all the time, right? And have you ever, like, interrupted your self-talk and said, "God, is this what you think?" Do it sometime. It's enlightening. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will be happy to interrupt you and say, "Monty, what are you thinking? Wow, stop right here." So, Father, as we go through these scriptures today, Father, we ask you to lead us in wisdom, Father. By your Holy Spirit, guide us into the truth we need so that we can walk out a life of humility, a life where we're empowered by you, not resisted by you, in a way that, Father, we can speak good news, advancing your kingdom, because, Father, you are good news. Jesus is good news, Father, and we thank you for that good news, Father. We thank you for the plans you have for us, Father, advancing your kingdom in this region, Father, and putting us in a position to do that and establishing us in that position. By your Holy Spirit, Father, help us to stay there. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go to Romans 12, verse 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay, let me read that in the Passion. In the Passion, right above that verse, it says your proper role in the body of Christ. That's that chapter. It says your proper role. It says, God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. That's what it says in the Passion. Here's your warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Let me tell you, when you're in Christ, you're valuable. You're so valuable. How valuable? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, well, how many whosoevers are there? You're all whosoevers. Whosoever shall believe in them shall not die but have eternal life. God, you're valuable. You have high value, the highest of value. But what it's saying here is in your self-talk, don't put yourself in front of him. In that self-talk. You see, because though you think you know something, though you presume to know something, you don't know. And humility is knowing that you don't know. And guess what? That's freedom. That's freedom. I mean, you know, I used to think, when I grow up, I'll know something. Obviously, I haven't grown up. Because I don't know anything. Really, the things I thought I knew, or the things I thought I would know when I got there. Well, where's there? I don't know. I haven't found it yet. I'm not worried about there anymore. I want to be here. Wherever God puts me, that's where I want to be. I want to be thinking what he wants me to think. I don't want to presume or assume. And those words, there is a difference. There's no difference. When you're assuming or presuming, you're basing it on what you think. We don't want to do that with God. Because why? We've already read it in Isaiah. His thoughts are so much higher than mine. His ways are so much higher. He's got a better idea than I do. Way better. Why wouldn't I just follow that? You know, I was thinking this morning, and there's lots of examples. The first example that came to mind. Look, if I were going to build a piece of furniture, because, of course, that's what I would do, right? I would take my wood and I would ask Richard, can I borrow your tools? Let's say I was over there at Richard's shop and I had the tools and I had the wood and here I was. Do you think it might be a good idea to ask Hunker what to do? It might be. Why? He's a craftsman. He knows how to do things. The same, I was thinking, and Ryan came up in my mind too. If I had a firearm, you know, he instructs gunsmith stuff. If I had him sitting beside me as I'm messing with something like that, you think it might be a good idea to, hey. And you came to my mind too, Dave. If I'm messing with building and doing things, Dave, I don't know how to sheetrock. Do you know when you have the Holy Spirit of God residing inside of you, you've got the one, you have God who knows everything about everything residing inside of you. Do you think it might be a good idea to ask him about whatever? Because he's the craftsman that created everything. So everything you're encountering, you have the one who knows everything about everything residing inside of you that can tell you what to do. You think that's kind of cool? You think that might be beneficial? Do you think that my presumptions could get in the way of walking? Yeah, all the time. And so, okay, let's go to another scripture. Okay, you're getting my point. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to read 12 through 15. I'm in the New King James. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, oh, we've heard that before, huh? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Satan talking right there. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit. You know, I had woke up early, and I was, even before Dad and I had talked about some of these verses, I was like, God, how did your most anointed cherub, your right-hand man, how did he fall? And I heard God say, he put himself equal to me. And of course, first thing I thought is, well, I wouldn't do that. Every time I go with my own inclinations and don't check with him, I'm thinking I'm equal to him, obviously, by my action. Oh, don't raise your hand. Who's done that? All the time. Lord, forgive me. Do you guys know about Lucifer? Ezekiel 28. Start in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. King of T-Y-R-E, not T-I-R-E. It's T-Y-R-E. It's not the big old Tyre man. No. It's, I'm kidding. King of T-Y-R-E. He's talking about Satan. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. This is God talking. You were the seal of perfection. That's pretty good. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Wow. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. He's a created being, people. You were the anointed cherub who covers. What does it say? I established you. That's what God's saying. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Wow. Pretty impressive, huh? I can't say that stuff about me. I wasn't any of that stuff. Right? Look what it says. Until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze on you. The whole point is at some point, this being that was full of wisdom, most beautiful, all these things, he said in his heart, that self-talk was, hey, I'm pretty good. God is above me, but I'm full of wisdom, and I'm really beautiful, and I can do all these things, and God's above me. And obviously he thought his own way was better than God's way. It's important for us to just look at this. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but you know, every created being had a choice to serve God or not. I know that from Scripture. We are created beings. We have a choice to accept Christ as our Savior and follow God or not. All the angels in heaven had a choice to follow God or to fall into this iniquity. A third of the angels fell with Satan. Did you know that? A third of them did. We could read it in Revelation. You can read in Jude. As I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, pride started this whole downfall. Because this, you know, Dad and I were talking. That has to be, as far as we know, the first recorded sin was with Lucifer. That I know. That I, you know, the Bible tells me. And it affected a third of the angelic creation. Wow. Do you know when I presume things and I put by action, I put my way in front of what God might be telling me, it affects me, right? It does. It hurts me. I've got the t-shirt, been there. But do you know what hurts other people too? It affects other people. It does. And the position God's established you in, when you come out of that position with pride, it affects other people. Right? And so it's so important for us to stay in tune with him. Again, if you say to yourself, okay, I'm really going to follow God. And I'm really going to be good at following God. And I am really going to do everything he says. And I won't do it. I'm unable to do it. But if I examine my heart and say, Father, help me. Holy Spirit, I really don't know. Even the things I think I know, I don't know. Let's be honest. You've been with me for 50-something years, and you know I don't know. I need your help. He gave us a helper. He gave us a counselor. He gave us the Spirit of truth to lead us into truth. And as we do that, we're walking in that established position, fully equipped for the good work he has for you. And you're free. It's freedom, people. You were not created to handle all the cares of this world. You were created to be a worshiper of God. You were created to be a follower of God. You were created to be the home of God's Spirit. You're a created being that the angels, the ones that stayed with God, look upon God's creation of people and his church, and they look on with wonder. That's what the Bible says. They look on with wonder like, wow! Wow! He put his Spirit in these people. He didn't say that about the angels, but he did that with his church. He did that with his people. He put his Spirit inside of you. Those angels are like, wow! Wow, God, use us to minister to them. And they do. Man. Guys, you have so much value. And so when that Romans scripture, don't think more highly of yourself, that isn't put yourself down. That's not what it's saying. It's saying think of yourself the way God thinks of you. Because it's really good. It's really good. But it's empowering in the fact, I just need to do what he says. I don't have to figure stuff out. And I guarantee you've worn yourself out trying to figure stuff out, haven't you? Oh, I have. And guess where it got me? Nowhere. It never got me anywhere, right? But when I finally got tired of myself, like we talked about, and I went to the Father, who knows everything about everything, I found I didn't have to figure anything out. I had to worship Him. I had to honor Him in all my ways. I had to seek Him first, and then all the things were added to me that I didn't even think I needed, didn't even know I needed. And He is so good that He does it. He just knows how. And so in your self-talk, that whole praying without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians, when it says praying without ceasing, all that means is stay connected in your self-talk. Stay connected. I mean, it's not wrong to say, God, I'm thinking this stuff, but you're starting with Him. God, I'm thinking here. Help me with my thinking. That means help me in my soul, where my mind, will, and emotions is being influenced by the flesh, influenced by the situation, influenced by the cares of the world. I'm being influenced, God, but I want my direction and my soul influence to be from Your Spirit. That's what I desire, because I know that's the right way. And when I get ahead of myself and I trip up in my presumption, just look back at Him and say, help, God, forgive me, help me. He's there for you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. See, He had to give people the choice. Remember, He didn't intend hell for people. Hell was not created for people. It wasn't. It was created for those angels that fell. That's what it was created for, period. It was not created for you. He never intended for created man to go to hell. He doesn't send anyone to hell. They choose to go by denying Him. You see, He'll never go against His word. That's why it's such good news. We have sinned. Everyone who's taken breath, except Jesus, has sinned. The wages of sin is death. Oh, no. So I have to die for my own sin. No. That's the good news. Jesus did it. He did it. Amen. Amen. And so when you accept that grace gift, that free gift of A, admitting and acknowledging you've sinned, B, believing that Jesus paid for that sin, and C, confessing that with your mouth. When you've understood the ABCs, accepted that, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you, and your eternity is in heaven, period. Your eternity is never being separated by the Creator of the universe, ever. Never. Even when you mess up, even when you presume, even when you assume, He's not going to send you to hell. You can have a tough life on this earth. I can promise you. You'll get tired of yourself at some point. And you'll call out for Daddy, help! And He'll be there. Because you're His child. And you'll start living in the goodness of God. And you won't want to leave it. You won't want to leave Him. You know. Once we humble ourselves before Him and start living in that good plan that He has for you, you're not going to want to get away from it. His ways are so much higher and better. And He wants that abundant life for you. And you know, the older you get, you know, you ask a five-year-old kid what's an abundant life. Lots of ice cream. Right? Really, you know, if I ask a five-year-old kid. You ask a 10-year-old kid, maybe the racetrack or, you know, whatever, right? You ask a 15-year-old kid, it's going to have something to do with the car, I can promise you. Right? You know, I've had the opportunity in my profession to treat a lot of different people, you know, have them on a table and talk to them. And when I first started practicing, it's been almost 30 years ago. Yeah, wow. All of my patients, most all of them, if they were older, they had been to World War II, all of them. I've heard more stories than, and I cherish all that. And their perspective, right? And as you talk to these older people, what's important
is not what was important when they were in their 20s or their 30s or their 40s or their 50s or their 60s or their 70s. What's important starts to really change. And so I've really tried to take from those older people and try to make it important now. And do you know what's important? This. My relationship with him. Because if I get that going the way I'm supposed to, he says all these things will be added to me. All of them. It doesn't say, and if you do all these extra things. No, he says, seek me first. And in seeking him, yes. Is there faith, believing? Absolutely. Is there obeying? Absolutely. You know, our walk with God comes down to those two things. Really, believing him and obeying him. It really does. If I want to walk out the abundant life he has for me, I have to believe him and have him in my heart sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then I have to obey. Nobody likes that word. It's actually a really cool word because it means spirit-led. Man, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to believe and obey and believe and obey and believe and obey. And sometimes in my obeying, I get off track. I thought you said that, God. No, Monty, that was you. Oh, you know, I figured out that was me. How'd you figure that out, Monty? It didn't work. The fruit of the Spirit wasn't there. Well, yeah, no kidding, Monty. But that's okay. Come back. Now let's try again. And let's get better at the obeying, the hearing me. You know, have you ever told like your kid to do something and you start telling them, like, go do, and they go? And it's like, I didn't finish saying that. I think that's what God is with me. Okay. There he went. And then I'd come out back with a black eye, like, ugh. Yeah, you didn't get all the instructions, Monty. Right? Let's get all the instructions. Let's not presume with God. Oh, I got it, God. I heard what you said. I'm going to bang the rock again when I was supposed to speak to it. Remember with Moses? Yeah. Again, take this message as a message of encouragement. Wow. You have such an established position with God that is so important. It matters to God because he's using you in that position to advance his kingdom, right? Because remember, it's not just about me getting saved. If that's all it was about, saved, delivered to heaven. Saved, delivered to heaven. No, saved, advance his kingdom so people hear the good news. That's the whole point, right? And we serve our position to be used by the king, advancing his kingdom, right? And it's such a powerful position we have. But the power only comes by the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. It doesn't come from me. It can't come from my idea. I can't come up with these messages, just so you know. I really can't. I don't even know what I'm going to say half the time. I know you already know that, huh? But see, I know my God. And I know he can deliver from an imperfect vessel. He can deliver a perfect message into your heart and encourage you tomorrow. He can do that. See, I trust that he'll do that. Because I already know I can't do it. You know? But that's okay. I don't have to. I just have to stay in position, right? Try to listen to what he's saying and walk it out.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street.
Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace in my trouble.